Whenever I reminisce about the past of a Byakiri, I tend to fill in gaps that Lhompa Pasano and Ajahn Kruta Dhammo never talk about. They tend to talk about those beginning years. So I got here in year 5, so those were starting to get in some of the middling years of a Byakiri. And some of the reflections coming up for me around just listening to Lhompa and Ajahn Kruta Dhammo speak, and some of the recollections coming up for me were around just how supportive this community was of me when I first came here, and some of the lay people, some of the characters who were around, and the lay of the land at that time in 2001, June 2001. So Byakiri had just turned 5 at that time. And I'll use people's honorifics that they were at that time. So Tan Kruta Dhammo was spending his 3rd Vasa away in England with Lhompa Somedo that time. So you did get to spend time with mostly Ajahn Suchito. Okay. With Ajahn Somedo as well. Was that at Chidhurst? Yes, at Chidhurst, 3rd Vasa away. So he wasn't here when I got here. And also there was a name I kept hearing, Tan Sudanto, also wasn't here. He actually had been here helping establish the monastery, but he was in Thailand. I decided to go Tudong for a while, and he ended up coming back when I was about halfway through my Anagarika year, as well as Tan Kruta Dhammo came back, 3 Vasas. And that was also during my Anagarika year. And I just remember arriving as a lay person, and we used to have tea in the little house that doesn't exist anymore. And that little house was kind of the beating heart of a Byakiri. And there was the front porch, the green chairs, which still do exist. We still have the green chairs. And we would sit on the front porch, drink tea. And I remember there was a woman who had been living here for a period of time. She was in white, actually. What was her name? She was here at the same time Robert Hahn was here. She was in white, though, for... It wasn't Moria, was it? No, it wasn't Moria. Maureen. Yes. Yes. Yeah, that was her. So she had just left the whites when I got here. And I remember having tea with her. I saw her there. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So we've stayed in contact. But I remember she was one of the first people I talked to in the monastery, actually, apart from Debbie. And I remember sitting in the little house, having tea, and just kind of starting to meet people. I'd been here for a couple days. And I remember she asked me, oh, what's your intention in coming here? And I said, well, I'm actually thinking about ordaining. And she said, she kind of surprised me. I said, sadhu, it's the highest thing in the world. I said, oh, okay, that's interesting. And she had so much faith. And then I remember meeting Debbie. And then I said, oh, you live here? And she said, yeah, I've been here since the beginning. And I said, oh, why aren't you ordained? And then she said, it's a long story. So she did. She was very diplomatic. And then 2 Siladharas were here. Sister Sundara and Sister Jitindriya were here at that time. And there was a monk who I didn't realize was about to disrobe. His name was Piasilo. He was the work monk. And then the guest monk was named Tan Achalo. So all these characters were here at that time. And then I was very intense, very impulsive, very idealistic. And the email I had written to the guest monk, to Tan Achalo, was, I want to ordain. What do I do? Didn't sign it. And then he almost didn't respond because one of the other monks, who I won't name, was walking by and said, oh, I would just delete that email. And then Tan Achalo said, no, you never know. You never know. So he responded. So I have him to thank for being here. And then also one of the funny interactions I had with then Tan Achalo when I was here, he was super metta with me and trying to really befriend me and just kind of make me feel comfortable. And I remember I turned to him. He was walking up the hill with me and just asking, you know, are you doing okay? How's everything going? And he recollected this to me later. And I feel so embarrassed even telling the story. But I said, look, I'm not here to make friends, all right? I said, I'm here to practice. I'm not here to make friends. He's like, all right, all right. Didn't quite understand the whole Kalyana Mitta thing yet. But people were very, very supportive of me. And the person who was the most supportive of me, I have to back up a little bit. I came here in May of 2001, just before Bayagiri turned 5, and I was here as a guest for a week first, and only then Ajahn Pasano, not Longpa yet, Ajahn Pasano was here. Ajahn Amaro was teaching in New York, so he was away. So actually, even backing up more, the first monk I ever met via phone was Ajahn Amaro, because I called Abayagiri before I sent that email. I called Abayagiri and Ajahn Amaro picked up. And he said, hello. I said, thinking about ordaining? Is this something? He's like, well, we aren't exactly recruiting people, but you're welcome to email the guest monk and visit. So, click. So, I don't think he just, okay, thanks. Okay, bye. So that's when I sent that email. And then the first monk I met in person was Tan Acholo. But then Ajahn Pasano was the only one here. And I would go in for tea time in then what was the Dhamma Hall, which is now the dining hall. And it would just be me sitting there. There was nobody there. There was nobody in the monastery. It was empty. It was just very, very quiet. I think there was 7 people living here at the time, and maybe 8 or 9 if you included the guests. And I was here for a whole week, and it seemed like it was just me and Ajahn Pasano every day. He answered all my questions. I mean, now that I know Thai, I could say I was Mai Lu Luang. Like, I had no idea what was happening. He answered all my questions, was very gracious, very generous. And, you know, I had no idea he was a famous monk in Thailand and super senior and what kind of respect you were supposed to show to seniority. But I did feel after that visit that, wow, you know, this place with the kutis and the land and this Ajahn who is just kind of so gracious, and I'm just some guy coming off the street, and he answered all my questions. And then one of the last things, the last day, I said, well, now there's a fork in the road. I could go back to my life, or I could come here. And his advice to me was, don't think about it too much. Really, really good advice. And just that openness really made me want to come back. So then I ended up, and also very practical. So I said, well, can I request to come be an Anagarika? And he said, well, there was another guy who was supposed to show up and he didn't show, and you're here and he's not here. So yeah, you can become an Anagarika. So very practical. So, oh, okay. I like that. That guy did show up later, though, and was junior to me then. That was Chris Bradley. And the Anagarika senior to me was Scott Boltinghouse, who became Obaso and was a monk for a year. So, yeah, that was the lay of the land when I got here, and I just feel very grateful. There's just one other person I wanted to talk about who I met when I first came here, and that was an elderly woman who was living here, and her name was Kitty Engel. And she also was super metta with me and really kind of talked with me quite a bit, took me in. And then I remember in my kind of intensity, I told her one day, like, yeah, I can't turn back now. I'm just gonna stay here. You know, I left all my friends behind and I'm just going to practice as hard as I can. And she was like, don't say that. You have to be more open. Come on, be kinder to yourself. She's giving me that encouragement. So just remembering some of these characters from the early days, and I think that's good enough for now. I'll pass it on to Ajahn Shunda. Mm-hmm.